Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having a fantastic Friday today. I did want to point out and make sure everybody is aware of it, which I'm sure all of our Texas friends are. You guys got a big hurricane coming in, and I forgot to bring it up on the show yesterday. I saw it coming in, and I missed it on my notes, but I had heard a couple days ago that this thing was supposed to be kind of small. It was basic, and then I had a couple people contact me, and they said that from the inside, there was a big storm coming in. It looks like this thing's going to be turning into a Category 3 as it makes landfall early tonight, or late tonight, early tomorrow morning, like around midnight to 2 a.m., and it's supposed to be hitting Corpus Christi, like right in the middle. So this is going to be a pretty intense storm. They're expecting anywhere from 35 to 40 inches of rain. They said the storm surge flood can be all the way up to 12 feet along the coast. So make sure you guys are prepared for this. I'm sure most of you already are. And just be ready for it. Don't wait to the last minute for any of this stuff. This is why I always tell everybody, make sure you have preparations and plans with water, food, shelter, all that at all times. Never wait for the last minute, because this thing is pretty nasty coming in, Dad.
People are fighting in the stores for the last few bottles of water. The stores are putting big signs up, we're out of water in the front door, so people don't come in. It's a preparation thing that we have to have a mindset for. I wrote a whole article on this on our website. You can read it. It says, should Christians or should Americans prepare and store food? And the answer is yes. Now, I don't think we need to have 25 years of food stored up, because number one, it's not going to last that long. And number two, we have to realize that, you know, we've got to trust in God also. But we also have to realize that God wants us to have a prepared mindset, not because of a lack of faith, but because we're good stewards. And if you've got children or family and you've got to feed them, you've got to make sure you can take care of the kids. Very, 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 very important. So let's pray for the folks in Texas right now. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for all of the folks in Texas. I pray, Lord, that you just protect them. I station angels all around them. I believe the blood of Christ over them, Lord. I put a hedge of thorns around them, Father. And I pray for some supernatural protection for these guys right now, Lord. They can have a lot of water, they can have a lot of wind, Lord, and they can still be safe. Be with them, Lord. Protect them. Keep them safe, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Und amen. Now, guys, let me explain something to you. When we pray for people like corporately like that, you've got to understand we've got a whole group of Sabbatai and Kabbalists that are out there hoping that people have horrible things happen to them, because this is what they do. They get energy from that field when things happen like this. So we have to pray in unison and all believe that. And the people in Texas also have to believe that. And they have to receive that. It's so important, because so many times people understand, if you pray for somebody, if you bind something or you lose something or you pray for protection for someone, if they don't believe that, if they don't have faith for that, or if they don't care about that, or they don't believe that prayer works, it doesn't really make a whole lot of difference to them. Because I can pray for my nuclear family. I can pray for you guys because you're part of my family every day. And I can pray that God protects all of us and takes care of all of us. I can pray that because you guys are in agreement with me in prayer on that. But when you start praying for other people to do things that they don't want to do or they don't believe in, it makes it very difficult because of their lack of faith or because of their confessions to allow those things to happen. Was I clear enough on that, Oz?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, but now one other thing, I have to change topics here because this is aggravating me. I got to cover this again. Alex Jones has broken a video on Michelle Obama being a transvestite. Now, we broke this story with you guys a year and a half ago. You guys already know how I feel about that. I haven't spoken about these Obama characters or even Clinton. I try not to bring them up because I'm just happy they're gone. And it's a pretty, I mean, it's already got millions of views. It's got millions of views already. It's one of the top trending videos right now. And all of Facebook and everything else. And so the nuttiest thing about this is, if this one doesn't convince you that I was right a year and a half ago when I brought this up, I don't know how to convince anybody. Now, in fact, I sent it to a pastor friend of mine just a few minutes ago, and he said, LOL, he's responded back to me. He has a mega church. He goes, you crack me up. Do you really seriously believe this? And my response was, yes. You know, watch the video. So Joan Rivers announced it, and she was dead a few weeks later. And by the way, Joan Rivers was friends with the Obamas. She was friends with them. She hung out with them. And, you know, I said, if you watch the video and tell me what you think, you know, always remember, Obama had multiple gay lovers in Chicago. And then I said, but of course, at this point, what difference does it make? In fact, if you watch the Alex Jones video, you can start it at 7 minutes and 26 seconds, and then you can go back and see if you want to watch the whole thing. So I sent my buddy, the pastor, I sent him a link. This Obama's gay lovers were murdered in Chicago. You guys can Google that. Trinity Church members reveals the Obama shocker. and the mom of Obama's murdered Obama gay lover speaks up. Now, I want to cover this one more time with you guys because it's a major story. I've got to cover it, though I don't want to. I believe that Obama's gay, period. That's it. So that's just, I mean, you can listen and read all the stuff, and you can talk to his high, you can listen to his high school classmates in Hawaii, and they say he was gay. I mean, the high school classmates say, I went to high school with Obama, everybody knew he was gay, he was openly gay, didn't care about being gay, he was gay. So, let me ask you a question. If he's openly gay, why would he marry a woman and have a real woman in the White House? That doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever that he would do that. Plus, a bunch of his gay lovers died right before he got into the White House, before anybody could go in and question him. So here's what I responded back to David, my pastor friend. I said, but in all reality, I really don't care either way. He and it are out of the White House. Normalcy bias would prevent the majority of the population to even consider this possibility. To me, it's a non-issue. The left, the Sabbatean Kabbalists, the communists, the political correct folks will be proud if she's a he. The right is just happy that he's gone, that it's gone. To me, society is so perverse at this point, nothing surprises me. But like I suggested, just watch the video and basically see what you think. And basically remember, always remember, Obama said in his own book that his nanny that raised him was a transvestite. So guys, it's a huge story. I had to go ahead and talk about it one more time. I'm not planning on bringing it up again. Anything you want to add to it, Austin?
No, that's pretty much closed it up for me. I've figured this for a while now. That video kind of just solidifies it even further, but it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't surprise me one bit. I've pretty much been convinced about this for years now.
Well, I had two people. I had Randy and Brad both send me this video and said, yeah, man, you got to look at this. And my response was, yeah, I told you a year and a half.
Yeah.
People thought I was joking about this. I mean, Joan Rivers died right after she announced this, guys. She announced it. She straight called Michelle Atrani and Obama gay, said, what difference does it make? It's okay. It's fine. You watch her say it. I mean, he's got millions and millions of YouTube views. And like I said, who cares at this point? You know, there's nothing we can do to change this. We're not going to be able to change. There's nothing illegal about him being married to a transvestite in the White House. There's nothing illegal about any of this stuff they've done because, you know, why do you think Obama allowed transgenders to serve in the military? Why do you think Obama allowed for transgender surgery to be paid by the military? Why do you think he changed the open door policy for the gays in the military that Clinton had set up? Why do you think he changed all of this stuff? Because that's what he is. That's his constituency, and that's who he was catering to. All right, let me go ahead and start on another story. Enough of that nonsense. The spoils of war, Afghanistan's multi-billion dollar heroin trade. This is a Global Research article, and I said some things yesterday that I wanted to document again because I pulled up the reference researches to this. And Afghanistan's opium economy is a multi-billion dollar operation, which actually is in the trillions at this point when you look at the retail value. And the author who wrote this, his name is Chosudovsky, and the spoils of war, Afghanistan's multi-billion dollar heroin trade. You guys can read the entire article in its, you know, in complete form if you'd like. He says, quote, again, this is an article from Sybil Edmonds from August 22nd, 2017. This is a quote. There were 189,000 heroin users in the U.S. in 2001 before the U.S. NATO invasion of Afghanistan. By 2016, that number went to 4.5 million, 2.5 million heroin addicts, and 2 million casual users. Now, I got to stop here for just a second, Austin. I don't know how you're going to be a casual user of heroin for very long. I don't get that one, okay?
Yeah,
heroin
I don't either.
heroin deaths shot up from 1,779 in 2001 to 10,574 in 2014 as Afghan poppy fields metastasized from 76,000 hectares, which is like 2.5 acres per hectare, when the U.S. started it, to 224,000. They're cultivating over 500,000 acres in poppy right now. So, I mean, this is huge, huge, huge. Afghan produces over 90% of the opium that feeds the heroin market. In turn, the U.S. is now sending more troops into Afghanistan. Lest we forget, the surge in opium production occurred in the immediate wake of the U.S. invasion of October 2001. I've told you guys all of this stuff, that the Taliban government almost shut it down altogether. Now, but what this article does, and it references everything that it says, and you guys need to read this, it basically says that this group, this poppy, this opium, this heroin that's coming into the United States and throughout Europe, throughout the world, is in trillions of dollars now. Which we told you guys. They said it's like the second largest commodity in the world. And what it's also saying is the money that is coming in from this is going into these banks, multinational banks, and it's maintaining their solvency. Now, you got to understand what that means. That means if it wasn't for the fact that they were getting trillions of dollars in dirty money from drugs, they would be insolvent. They would be closing their doors. So we have a problem here. We have to get this through our brains. The military is controlling the U.S. government through the CIA. The Sabbatean cabalists through this banking system and this controlled mafia distribution of drugs and these trillions of dollars that are coming in are controlling the CIA. It's become like the tail's wagging the dog, and the entire thing is so corrupt now with the international banks and the mafia and the mob. That's why I've quoted this book so many times for you, Operation Gladio, The Unholy Alliance Between the CIA, the Vatican, and the Mafia. The problem was the Vatican Bank itself couldn't even handle the amount of money they were bringing in, so they had to open up hundreds of banks throughout the world to launder this money in to basically wash it. And this is one of the primary things in the economy that's keeping our country going to the level that it is right now, which blows my mind as far as from a morality standpoint, to think that if the trade of opium and heroin was shut down globally, they would probably collapse the world economy. That's a strong statement, guys, because if suddenly all of this free cash and free money stopped, it basically would be a disaster for the banks. And he goes on to have another quote in here. It says, researcher Alfred McCroy's study confirms that within 2 years of the onslaught of the CIA's covert operation in Afghanistan, that the CIA assets again control the heroin trade. As the Mujahideen guerrillas seized territory inside Afghanistan, they ordered peasants to plant opium as a revolutionary tax against across the border in Pakistan. Afghan leaders and local syndicates under the protection of Pakistan intelligence operated hundreds of heroin laboratories. I've told you guys this many times throughout Afghanistan. During this decade of wide-open drug dealing, the U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency in Islamabad failed to investigate major seizures and arrests. Why? Because they were bringing it into the country for distribution to the mafia, to the mob. That's how this has happened. It says, according to the UNODC, Afghan's opium production has increased more than 15-fold since 1979. We've already talked about that. Narcotics, second to oil, and the arms trade. The revenues generated from the CIA-sponsored Afghan drug trade are sizable. The Afghan drug trade opiates constitute a large share of the worldwide annual turnover of narcotics, which is estimated to be the order of $400 to $500 billion. I personally think it's much higher than that, because it says right here it's hard to figure out the exact number. The IMF estimated global laundry moneying is between $590 billion and they're coming up and $1.5 trillion a year, representing almost 5% of total GDP of the planet. Global GDP, 5% drugs? This is nuts. It says, a large share of global money laundering, as estimated by the IMF, is linked to the trade of narcotics. Based on recent figures from 13, 14 years ago, drug trafficking constitutes the third biggest global commodity in cash terms after oils and the arms trade. Now, I had gotten that. I was told it was oil, natural gas, and then heroin. They're saying it's oil, weapons, which wouldn't surprise me at all with Halliburton, and then drugs. I mean, but think about this. It says, moreover, the above figures include those on money laundering, confirm that the bulk of the revenues associated with the global trade in narcotics are not appropriated by terrorist groups and warlords, as suggested by the report. The UN is saying that this is what's funding the Afghan rebels and funding ISIS. And it says this is basically a complete lie. It says that is not at all what's going on. It says, in other words, intelligence agency and powerful business syndicates allied with organized crime are competing for the strategic control over the heroin routes. The multi-billion trillion dollar revenue of narcotics are deposited into the Western banking system. Most of the large international banks, together with their affiliates and the offshore banking havens, launder huge amounts of narco dollars. Where does all this money go? Who benefits from the Afghan opium trade? It goes to complex intermediates, areas. It says Afghan heroin sells on the international narcotics market. I didn't know they had an international narcotics market. What, are they bid on this stuff at an auction often? I mean, think about what, I mean, what are they, here's a kilo, what, I mean, were they bidding on it? 100 times.
Narcotics eBay.
I mean, but do you think about it? This is a business.
Yeah.
And so it's saying that basically the money is not going into the Taliban or into ISIS. It's going into these banks, and it's basically that's how this entire thing is being fed. You can read this entire article. It's heavily, heavily, heavily referenced. You guys can read it yourself. And now that I've piqued your interest in it, rather than making you listen to the tape again, let me give it to you again. The Spoils of War, Afghanistan's multi-billion dollar heroin trade, Washington's hidden agenda, restore the drug trade by Professor Michael Chosudovsky at Global Research. Read the entire article in its depth. It will be an eye-opener for you and all of the listeners today. So what do you think about this and the entire banking community being held together by this? This is nuts.
Yeah, it really is nuts. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, what's wild about this is that it's becoming so open and so prominent, and we're starting to figure all this stuff out about it, but yet it's so big now and it's so vast, it's not going to stop. I mean, when you look at it, 5% of the global GDP now is narcotics distribution like this. That's insanity to me. And those numbers, as Dad just said, you have to understand, when they start saying, well, it may produce $400 to $500 billion, that doesn't go in an account the multiple levels of distribution this goes into. You have to understand, say 100 kilos of heroin goes for somewhere probably, I don't know, just say $5 million. That's probably cheap. But say $5 million. Well, that's what the first 100 kilos goes to from the guy that's moving them from Afghanistan to a CIA operative. Well, the CIA operative moves them in and flies them in to, say, Miami. When they get to Miami, those 100 kilos now sell for $10 million. So it's more money goes up. Then it distributes down to smaller people, and it brings in another $50 million. And then it hits street-level value and brings in another $100 million. So this whole thing where they're saying it's a couple hundred billion, in my opinion, that is greatly underestimated when you start doing the mathematics of what this actually brings in on the multiple levels of sale revenues that it brings in through multiple hands. And when you start talking about you're even in anywhere near 1, 2, 3, 4, 5% of the global GDP, you're a huge, huge market of what's going on in the entire world, man. That's insane.
Well, remember, they said up to $1.5 trillion. They're admitting to the $1.5 trillion. And they're saying it's
all estimations,
much higher.
Man.
We don't know. So I think it's probably closer. By the time you get to the street level, I think you're dealing in $10 trillion, $15, $20 trillion a year. Because that's why we're having so much. This is why Sharon's brother died of a heroin overdose. They're saying that the stuff coming out of Afghanistan is so pure because they're not even having to cut it because they're making so much of it. They're making 6,000 metric tons of heroin is the estimate. But they said they don't even know if that's accurate. It'd be much higher than that. And this is like insane amounts of – this is just raw heroin before you cut it, 6,000 metric tons. And see, this is what happened in Orlando when Todd, Sharon's brother, died almost 2 years ago now, 37 years old, with a heroin overdose. He basically – injected stuff that he probably had no idea how pure it was. And the investigator who was there at the death scene told me, sitting in my car talking to Sharon, you know, Todd's sister, half sister, that this is happening all over Colonial Highway right now. They call it Heroin Highway because every single week or two they're having deaths on this highway because the Afghan heroin is so pure and it's so profitable that they don't even have to cut it anymore because their supply chains have become so efficient. It's unbelievable, Austin.
Yeah.
So efficient that it gets distributed almost straight from the fields back through the mob through these different handlers. Now, this is why the CIA, who controls the government, is never, ever going to allow Trump to pull troops out of Afghanistan. And Trump knows every bit of this. Trump knows all of this stuff.
Yep.
Like I said yesterday, all he's trying to do is stay alive because remember, he has like a military entourage around him all the time now with the CIA. I mean, these guys are really monitoring him. Quite frankly, like I told you guys before, we elect the politicians, the politicians have been corrupted. They've given the control of the government to the military-industrial complex. That's why Eisenhower warned us about beware the military-industrial complex. They've turned around and given it over to the Sabbatean Kabbalists, the international banking community that's involved with all of this heroin narcotics trade and all of the human sacrifice and the child trade, the child pedophile trade, the organ trafficking, the money laundering. They've given it to these guys, which is basically this mafia, the Sabbatean Kabbalist mafia. That's who these guys are. They've turned around and they've given over to their god, Lucifer, and they're trying to connect us into a D-Wave computer to allow us to be interfaced with their god in complete and total control, which we'll talk about that in a few more minutes, and I'll even cover that in more detail tonight. I am on for the full 3 hours with Hagman and Hagman tonight. So this is some crazy stuff, Austin. Now let's jump off that topic. Look, do you have anything else you want to add to that, Austin?
Well, one thing I did want to say, and this is what I've brought up numerous times now, what has happened now, they almost have a opium glut as far as from Afghanistan now, because, I mean, it's producing so much. That's why, if we talked the other day, we had, what, 180,000 heroin users, I think, in 2000. To the point now that it's like 4.5 million in the United States.
That's right.
We have a glut of this. And so what's happened now is they've realized they can't even move this much heroin. It can't even move enough of it anymore because there's not enough users to actually use heroin. So the stuff's coming in so raw and so pure. It's what they started doing years ago. I've talked about this now from the sources I've talked to. They started compounding this stuff at the underground laboratories and the underground pharmacies and basically building generic oxycodones and oxycontins, they basically ship back over to the United States to distribute on the street level. So to keep all the people that aren't quite to the level of wanting to go to heroin, but want to sit there and stay on heavy amounts of pills and can't get any more prescriptions because they basically burned out all their prescriptions with the doctors because they're hooked on them. That's why it's so easy now. If you talk to people that have been hooked on opiates and been hooked on heroin, like I found out when I was in the methadone clinic, it's so easy to get street pills now as far as street oxycontin, street oxycodone, and they're almost all generic. That's the reason why, because it's not coming from Pfizer. It's not coming from high-quality USDA-approved, FDA-approved laboratories in the United States. They're making these basically off-the-books generic pharmaceutical pills that look the same, react the same, and function the same, but they're not even made in any of these normal labs, and then they're dumping them over here because they have to figure out a way to move more of this stuff, and they know that there's only a specific amount of the market in the United States and in the world that's willing to use heroin. Most of them start with pills and go up, so if they can get more people hooked on pills, more people essentially in turn get hooked on heroin, and I guess that's their overall goal. Old dad, because most people, when they're hooked, especially on stuff like opiates, they're not worried about a lot of other stuff that is going on as long as they get their fix. So, but yeah, let's move on to another topic.
Well, hang on. I want to add something to it. Number one, Austin said when he was in the methadone clinic, he worked in the methadone clinic. Number one,
I've talked about that before.
I know, but we get new listeners every day. Okay, that's number one.
Yes.
Number two, I don't have to deal with emails. I didn't know Austin was on methadone. I don't want to deal with all that. And
No, I was not.
Austin's 100% correct as far as the substandard pharmaceutical laboratories making this stuff. But I will go one step further, and I'll go on the record as saying this. As much money is changing hands here, I personally believe that they're using some of the top pharmaceutical manufacturers in the world in countries like India and Pakistan by bringing the raw ingredients into these countries and packaging these things in perfect, shrink wraps. I mean, I personally believe that these pills are being manufactured in the gross amounts. Because remember, we're talking hundreds of millions, if not billions of pills right now that are coming out. It'd be very difficult for an underground lab to do that. Be very difficult because they don't have the economies of scale. Whereas a laboratory that's using and producing opiates, they don't really care where the order is coming in from. They just want to need to make sure they got the raw materials and the purity standpoint. I mean, they could be using a dummy pharmaceutical corporation. Let's say we could call it Zing Zing Pharmaceuticals, right? Zing Zing Pharmaceuticals puts an order in with this lab. Zing Zing Pharmaceuticals is licensed to carry opiates, and Zing Zing orders $1 billion or $2 billion, or remember, this is $1 trillion worth of stuff, guys, $100 billion worth of these opiates manufactured at one of the top pharmaceutical labs in India or in Pakistan. And as far as Pakistan looks at that, as they say, wow, we're going to make some money on this order. Let's just go ahead and produce it. They're licensed, they're regulated, they're registered, pump it out. And now all of a sudden you got another billion pills coming out that go to global distribution. Remember, this isn't just, we got 4.5 million users in the United States. We have probably close to 20 or 30 times that globally, Austin, who are using these drugs. Probably higher than that in China and everywhere else. This is how the great Satan is doing what he's doing to us with their Sabbatean Kabbalist groups. They call them the great Satan. I call them the little lowlife. I have no respect for him at all. But this is what the Sabbatean Kabbalists do. They come in and they completely destroy cultures and communities. Look at the opium wars they had in China when they had a huge percentage of the population of China through the British Empire, addicted to opium and heroin. Guys, this has been going on for a long, long time. And so personally, I think that these major pharmaceutical labs are involved in this to have this type of supply. Now, Pat Buchanan had an article that I want to read that was, because I like Pat Buchanan. He said, he wrote the article, he says, the divide that still unites us. Pat Buchanan, the left's bottom line is that we should be sickened by our history. Decades ago, a debate over what kind of nation America is rolled and roiled the conservative movement. Neocons, these are neoconservatives, primarily Democrats that shifted to the Republican Party that are really true, that are actually liberals, but they came over with Reagan, claimed America was an ideological nation, a creedal nation dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Expropriating the biblical message, the mandate, go forth and teach all nations. They divinized democracy and made the conversion of mankind to democratic faith of their mission here on earth. With the global crusade for democracy, George W. Bush brought into all of this the result, ashes in our mouth and a series of foreign policy disasters beginning with Afghan and Iraq. Behind the Trump plan slogan, America First, lay a conviction that with the Cold War over, and the real ideological nation, the USSR, shattered into pieces along ethnic lines, it was time for America to come home. Now, the neocons, the traditionalists, argue that while America was uniquely great, the nation was united by faith, culture, language, history, heroes, holidays, mores, manners, customs, and traditions. A common feature of Americans, black and white, was pride in belonging to a people that had achieved so much. The insight attributed to Alexis de Tocqueville, America is great because she is good, and if America ceases to be good, she will cease to be great, was a belief that was shared by almost all of us. What makes our future appear problematic is that what once what united us now divides us. While Presidents Wilson and Truman declared us to be a Christian nation, Christianity has been purged from our public life and sheds believers every decade. Atheism and agnosticism are growing rapidly, especially among the young. Traditional morality grounded in Christianity is being eradicated. Half of marriages end in divorce. 4 in 10 children are born out of wedlock. Unrestricted abortion and same-sex marriage, once regarded as marks of decadence and decline, are now seen as human rights and the hallmarks of social progress. Tens of millions of us do not speak English, where most of our music used to be classic, popular, country, western, and jazz. Now much of it contains rutting lyrics that used to be unprintable. We used to have 3 national networks. Now we have 3 24-hour cable news channels and thousands of other TV stations. Now, he's talking about this because what he's saying is that we have come into America, and now we are saying, what's binding us together? Our history bound us together. It says, bottom line for the left, Americans should be sickened and ashamed of the history that made us the world's greatest nation, and we should acknowledge our ancestors' guilt by tearing down any and all monuments and statues that memorialize them. Now, when he says this, he goes, Hillary famously said that the segment of America that was supporting Trump is made up of a basket of deplorables, racists, sexists, homophobes, xenophobes, Islamophobes, bigots. and altogether irredeemable. So what still unites us? What holds us into the infinite future? What takes us as one nation and one people under God? What do we offer mankind as nations seem to recoil from what we are becoming and are instead eager to build their futures on the basis of ethnos and fundamentalist faith? Guys, what he's saying is this. If we destroy our history, if we destroy what made America America, if we take down our monuments and we stop doing what made us Americans and had faith and pride and hope in the United States, we will no longer be a country that the world will want to emulate, and we will destroy ourselves internally. And that's exactly what we're doing with this race-baiting nonsense that's going on with these Black Lives Matter things. It's MoveOn.org, George Soros funding these anti-Tifa guys. All of this stuff is fracturing the cultural roots that made the United States the United States. And guys, it's got to stop. What do you say, Austin?
Excellent. Well said. And you're exactly right, because now there's just reports I read earlier now, a new armed Antifa group is launching basically a new cell in Philadelphia with support from the alternate left media. Because remember exactly what Dad just said. The alternate left, the media, pretty much almost all the mainstream media, all they do is support these guys. They can do no wrong. It doesn't matter what they do, who they beat up, what they vandalize, who they hurt, what they destroy. They're absolutely right, no matter what they do. The group now that Antifa is basically supporting currently host anti-police workshops called Our Enemies in Blue. The group draws inspiration from convicted murderers and calls for violence against the police, theft of goods, and armed insurrection. Antifa's website, like It's Going Down, and Insurrection News has been promoting this group, which calls itself Revolutionary Abolished Movement. The press release that the group published in far-left media is filled with ridiculous claims about how mosques are being ruthlessly bombed all over the United States, which isn't even accurate, and how LGBTQ are being battered, which that whole terminology is ridiculous to me. It goes on to say it calls on members basically to expropriate or take away goods, lands, and tools to begin the revolutionary process, the same concepts that the leader of Black Lives Matter talked about last week, that basically all whites need to give away their homes and their property to black people, so basically to make up for what's happened. We went into detail yesterday about this civil war and the reasons behind it and what happened. Fantastic show. If you didn't hear it, you definitely need to listen to it. But that's exactly right. This is what they're trying to do, is to completely fracture and divide the United States. And so far, a lot of people are buying into this way more than I ever expected the United States to do so, Deb.
Guys, I'm going to ask you this, because we have black listeners, we have Hispanic listeners, we have white listeners, we have every nation, every creed, every country, every continent pretty much listening to us, except for haven't heard any emails. Well, we know we had one guy who was in Antarctica was listening to us. So here's the thing. We've got to get this, all right? They're lying to us, all right? This is a lie. They're trying to divide us. If you're black, be proud you're black. But be proud you're an American too. Same thing if you're white, if you're Hispanic, or whatever. Be proud of what you are. Be proud of the ties that bind us. You know, sure, we've got good history. Sure, we've got bad history. Sure, we did things to the Indians we shouldn't have done. I mean, but it doesn't make any difference at this point. It's 400 or 500 years down the road. We can learn from what we did. None of us who are alive today had anything to do with the Indian genocide that happened in the 1400s, 1500s, 1600s. We didn't do that. 1700s, 1800s even. We didn't do that. We had nothing to do with any of that. Just like the Germans who are alive right now, they weren't, except they're like, they're really old. There might be some really, really old Nazis over there, but they had nothing to do, chances are, with any of the Holocaust. I mean, we don't have to identify ourselves with what people did in our past that were bad. We just need to look at our past and learn from it and realize that the aggregate that we became from what we did in our past is okay. We've done well for the United States. It's the greatest nation that's ever been on the face of the planet. The problem is the Sabbatean Kabbalists who want to run the world can't deal with a strong United States. They want to geld. You know, when you have a horse, a male horse, you cut its testicles off, you create a gelding. This is what they want to do. They want to geld all the males in the United States. They don't want any alpha males speaking and talking and doing things. And see, a lot of people have a misunderstanding of what an alpha male is. An alpha male isn't someone who's cocky and arrogant like Muhammad Ali was. He's just a loudmouth egotist. An alpha male is someone who knows who they are in Christ Jesus, who puts his God first, who puts his family first, and who's willing to die to protect his family and his country, and his, and basically protect his, the name of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what an alpha male is. An alpha male is going to stand up and say what's right, whether or not he has public opinion on his side or not. That's what an alpha male does. That's what an alpha male is. It's not some arrogant, cocky football player who walks around thinking they can have sex with 25 different girls in one week and it's okay. That's not an alpha male. That's not what I consider to be an alpha male. But I don't consider what they say to be an alpha male to be an alpha male, because I've told you my definition of that. The other night when we were at Mark Rutland's conference in Atlanta, I was talking to a girl who was like 22 years old beside us, and Sharon was beside me. My daughter was there, and she wasn't dating anybody. This lady was really, really, this girl was really type A. In fact, she told me she was a type A, really aggressive. And I said to her, I said, well, what type of husband are you looking for? Are you looking for an alpha male? She says, no, I can't stand alpha males. And I said, oh, you can't stand alpha males. I said, let me explain to you what I think an alpha male is. She said, I don't want to hear that. Blah, 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 blah. See, the problem is, our society has gotten itself into such a predicament that we think that a guy's going to have to wear a pink shirt and wear a man bun on his head and walk around with a limp wrist to be okay and be accepted. Guys, that nauseates me, and it nauseates pretty much everybody listening to this show right now. Now, if a guy wants to be gay, that's his choice. I'm not going to get into some big tirade about that. Like, I don't care if Michelle Obama's a guy. I could care less about that. They don't even show up on my radar anymore. They're gone. They're out of office. I don't even like talking about them. But the thing is this, you know, we have to understand that God called us to a higher level of accountability, and that we have to be willing to tell our family, hey, no, it's not okay if you want to be gay. No, that's not okay. Let's get you some counseling. Let's try to get you some help with that. Now, you say, well, some people are just born gay. Well, yes, some people are being born gay now, and they have been for thousands of years. That's a fact because of Sodom and Gomorrah. We know it's true from the Bible. But I also know this gelding of the American male in the United States was done on purpose starting after World War II. They realized that with the macho guys that were running around in World War II and in World War I that were willing to die for their country and charge the beach at Normandy with machine guns, cutting them in half on both sides and not stop, they knew they were going to have a hard time putting a whipping on a group of people that had this much testosterone and who were this many alpha males. They knew that. So they knew at that point they had to get us on the fluoride immediately to dumb us down. And they knew at that point they had to put estrogen into our systems to basically cause us to become limp-wristed, fairy, feminine weirdos, which is what they've turned a lot of the guys into nowadays. I mean, I talked to my buddy Mancow, who's got a huge show in Chicago. A lot of you guys have heard of him. He used to be syndicated all over the country. He's a very strong Christian, by the way. And he told me that he has interns who work for him in his studio that are guys and interns that are girls. And these girls don't get asked out by the guys who are interns because they don't see any need to ask the girls out. And he wanted to know what the heck was wrong with his interns. So he had me come on the show and talk about what's happening with estrogen in the system and in the food and how it's making geldings out of the American men so they'll be calm and relaxed. And they could be little fairy boys running around with little limp wrists. Guys, this isn't okay with me. None of it's okay. We need to get the men back in this country. We need the plasticizers out of our food. We need the GMO out of our food. We need the soy out of our food. Guys, I don't care if you're a straight guy. If you want to start acting like a gay guy, start eating soy products, run your estrogen up, and you just start talking kind of funny, and you get boobs on yourself. You don't need that. You don't need gynomastia. Excuse me for being crude, but that's exactly what happens. You don't have to act like you have to. Don't believe the lie. And Austin and I talked about this yesterday about how they want us to be basically vegetarians, and the vegetarians are going to be, or I think it was the day before yesterday, how they want us to be vegetarians because the vegetarians eat huge amounts of soy protein. Guys, it's not okay to eat soy. Don't do it. And don't eat chicken that has female hormones in it. Years ago, Geraldo Rivera did a thing. He and Katie Couric, they actually did a seminar or a TV show, and they were talking about what was going on in Puerto Rico and how little 2 and 3 year old boys and girls had grown the breasts of full grown women. And they traced it back to the female hormones
inside of the chicken and the meat that were being fed to these young children and being fed to their mother who were breastfeeding some of these kids still. Guys, it was all traced back to hormonal interference in the body. It's called endocrine disruption because testosterone and estrogen are antagonistic. If you get enough estrogen, it competes against testosterone and destroys it, and it doesn't let you be a guy. You become a little, you want to go shopping and wear tight jeans. Okay? I mean, it sounds funny, it sounds goofy, but it's what happens. And that's why so many guys in university campuses now are basically like that. And the guys that haven't been subjected to that, now they are scared to ask girls out, because if they ask a girl out on a date, if they ask a lesbian out or a transsexual out or somebody who's that day is no longer identifying as a girl or identifying as a guy, they can basically get in trouble with the campus and have security called on them. This whole thing is screwed up. And the reason it's happening again is because the Sabbatean and Kabbalists had two choices. They could make the earth good, or they could make it totally bad to resurrect their serpent god. This is what they're doing. That's what this whole point about this thing is they want to make it as corrupt and as filthy and as nasty and as pornographically ridden as they possibly can. And that's why we're in the middle of this stuff. That's why we've got a former first lady running around adjusting herself as she's walking down the stairs. I mean, are you kidding me? This is what we've turned into in the United States. We have become the laughingstock of the entire world. The once great United States of America that people struggle just to get to, people are now trying to avoid because they don't want to be involved in the complete and total hysteria of political correctness that has grabbed this country by the throat and is strangling it, Austin. So there you go. I got to get off the topic here. I'm just going to go off on this too long.
Wow.
But that's exactly what's happening in the U.S. So there you go. I mean, that's enough of my rant. Go ahead, Austin.
Yeah. No, that's pretty much that's definitely where it's at, man. You nailed it. Well, other news too. What I wanted to touch base on today is because I pretty much called this out about five months ago, when I remember when Amazon was making claims that they were talking about buying Whole Foods, and a lot of what they were doing as far as completely own the market, and especially what we've seen now with Amazon's, you know, predatory pricing tactics, which they've done very, very well on their website with. They now released yesterday, and I called this when they bought Whole Foods. This is what their main goal is to try and put all these other retail food distribution companies like Publix and Winn-Dixie and Kroger's and all these places out of business. They now said that after its takeover of Whole Foods closes on Monday, its first order of business immediately will, of course, to make items more affordable. Well, that sounds fantastic. Who doesn't want more affordable items? They said Whole Foods Market will now be offering lower prices starting Monday on a selection of best-selling grocery staples across its store, with more to come, including avocados, eggs, salmon, butter, apples, chicken. Amazon said it will keep the markdowns coming and that Amazon Prime members will get even more additional discounts at Whole Foods. Now, first off, Whole Foods did have some inflated prices on a lot of stuff.
Right.
I agree with that. Some of their stuff was very overpriced. No question about it. Very, very inflated. But what my opinion, and this is what they're doing now, because I don't know what these prices are going to come in at, they're going to start doing the same predatory pricing that they do on their website on Amazon. They're going to start doing this at Whole Foods. They're going to start seeing what the grocery stores are selling organic brown eggs for, or avocados for, or butter for, and they're going to start undercutting them grossly like they do everybody else on Amazon. And if
exactly
you guys understand
right.
what predatory pricing is in marketing, it's basically, it's a strategy where a product or a service, which in this case with Amazon, it's usually a product, it's set at an extremely low price that essentially beats everybody, and its goal is to drive competitors out of that market completely and or essentially create an enormous barrier to entry for new competitors so that nobody can sell the product, because you're literally losing money to sell it at the prices they've done. I've seen this over and over and over again on their website. I've told you before, there's been products that we've carried or we've considered carrying. I go on Amazon and they're selling them literally for $1 to $2 more than my wholesale cost in bulk is, and they give them Prime free shipping in 2 days. You can't compete with that. It literally can't be done. So they are doing this all over the place, and in my opinion, this is what's coming next to Whole Foods. They're going to start slowly dropping the prices on Whole Foods with everything, because you got to remember, they are being backed by the CIA with all the different contracts they have with them. Plus, they have the enormous amount of revenue coming in with Amazon. So if they take a 2 or 3 year loss on Whole Foods as far as what they actually generate in positive revenue, it doesn't matter. They're still going to be doing incredibly good financially, and what they'll do is if they take a loss and they start undercutting everybody else in the food market, slowly everybody will start going, well, shoot, if I go to Walmart or I go to Publix, you know, organic whole eggs are $4.99 a rack. Well, if I go to, you know, Whole Foods over here, they're $2.99 a rack, and their regular non-organic brown eggs are like $2.59 a rack, so I might as well buy these from Whole Foods because it's so significantly cheaper. If they start doing it, notice they click the staple items, the eggs, the salmon, the butter, the apples, the avocados, the chicken, the big selling items are going to start slashing down. And they may not completely cut them down heavily yet. I don't know because they haven't released pricing. But what they're going to do is they're going to see what the market's going to do and what the sales are going to do when they cut this stuff down. If they need to, they'll cut it lower. If they need to, they'll cut it lower. As long as they can continue to take sales and revenue away from all the mom and pop stores and all the grocery stores around here, this is their main goal. They want to have a complete and total monopoly on everything. And so I told you guys I figured this was going to happen a couple months ago, and it looks like the very first thing they're doing at Whole Foods as soon as they close on Monday, Dad, is slashing the prices, which, like I said, in some cases, they need to drop the prices. Some of the stuff was outrageous at Whole Foods. But on the other hand, too, I think this is way more of a marketing strategy as far as with their predatory pricing that has anything to do with helping customers out, Dad.
Also, remember, Whole Foods said when they were basically put on the spot several years ago about selling so much food in their store that was full of pesticides and GMOs and people thinking they were buying organic, that they weren't going to label their Whole Food products as being organic or non-GMO until like 5 or 6 years later. That's what they said. Here's why. This thing that's going on with Amazon and the purchase of Whole Foods, this multi-billion dollar thing, has been going on for years. If I'm Amazon, I don't go, I'm going to buy Whole Foods next month. I think it'll be fun. You don't do that. You don't do that. This is like a series of just probably dozens, if not hundreds of attorneys working on a deal like this for years to make this happen. You're going in and, you know, covertly buying stock, covertly buying stock, covertly buying stock, covertly buying stock. I mean, until you get an ownership ability to go in and seize control and do a hostile takeover. That's how these things accrue in most cases. Now, whether this is done with Whole Foods or not, I don't know, but all I know is this. Whole Foods still isn't coming clean. Because now, if this is the premier health food store in the country, the biggest one, which it is, and it decides it's never now, because it's owned by Amazon, to list all the GMO foods or all the pesticides that are in its food, it doesn't have to. It's no longer controlled by the same shareholders or board. So now it can go ahead and pretend like it's a company that's not using GMOs, a company that's not using foods with pesticides, and the consumer's not going to go know any different at all because they're thinking, I'm buying from Whole Foods, therefore it has to be good. It has to be healthy. And simply, guys, in most cases, it's not. Now, I was going to cover this on the show today, but I don't have time. We only have a few minutes left. I'm going to talk about individual control technology and electromagnetic control over your brain and V2 voice-to-skull weaponized technology that is being experimented with and deployed against segments of the American population right now. We're going to talk about electronic stalking tonight. We're going to go into detail on what's really happening. And yes, this technology is real. I've talked about it before, but never in the detail that I'm going to cover tonight, because it is being actively deployed as we speak because of the rollout of the 5G network. So we're going to cover that tonight on the show with Doug. So guys, I want you to know something. I appreciate you guys. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. And I read some of the Facebook stuff yesterday. Sharon showed it to me. All you guys are saying, hey, we love your show. We love your show. We love your show. Hey, we're getting the vitamins from you guys. Hey, we feel absolutely great because we're getting your vitamins. Hey, your vitamins are the best. We want to just get your – even a lot of you guys go, wow, we got your vitamins because we want to support you and support the radio show. And even if your vitamins are as good as what we were already getting, we're still going to buy your vitamins because we know we're supporting the broadcast. Guys, thank you for that.
yes, we read those things, and yes, we do respond to those things. Now, also, a couple of weeks ago, a lot of you had basically put in some orders with Hagman and stuff. We made some commitments on all that. We're going to start working on that this week and next week. If you know who you are, you know who you are on that. So, guys, God bless you. Also, I'll be on with Dave Hodges on the first hour Sunday night from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern time for 1 hour with Dave. And I'll be on for the entire 3 hours tonight with Doug and Joe. I'm going to go ahead and let Austin take the show. Austin, go ahead and do the write-up on this show today. Guys, I love you. Thank you again for your support. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And go and continue to listen to Austin for the rest of the show. I'm sure he's got some more stories to cover with you guys. And again, thank you for your support. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Absolutely, bud. Appreciate it. Yeah, this is something that I saw earlier, and this is pretty troubling as far as what's going on now with the mind control and essentially the indoctrination of the local schools, especially the public schools. This is out in California now, and this actually was a charter school in California, not even just a public school. And they have had some significant issues out there. First off, when a kindergarten teacher read to her class a pair of books basically advocating transgender ideology, and then a male kindergartner was reintroduced to the class as a girl. Now, first graders at Rockland Academy Gateway risk the trip to the principal's office if they refer to their transgender classmates by the wrong name or gender pronoun. This is insane. Karen England, executive director of Capital Research Institute, a pro-family group based in Sacramento, said there was a little girl who has been in class with a little boy all last year, she said. They're in different classes now, but she saw him on the playground yesterday and called him by his name. The little girl was told, you cannot do that. His name is this name now, and you need to call him a her. Then she was called to the principal's office to basically be reprimanded. Ms. England said they've been in touch with the girl's parents and described them as outraged. They said it's not clear whether the girl was disciplined for the infraction, but Rockland Academy did not return any requests for a comment before press time. The controversy at Rockland is just the latest example of how this incredibly idiotic movement is increasingly spreading its ideology through early education. Even over in Washington State now, for instance, the Office of the Superintendent of Public Instruction issued guidelines now instructing public schools to teach students about gender identity as early as kindergarten now, guys. This is becoming so bizarre to me, but it's so clear. You see what they're doing. It's so evident. They are doing this at a basis now. These kids are 4 or 5 years old, and they're starting to indoctrinate them into this to the point where they're reprimanded and sent to the principal's office at 5 years of age for calling a boy, because he's been a boy since he's been at school, and now he's decided, I'm going to be a girl now. You have to call me her, and you have to call me by my girl name. This is boggling my mind. I really don't understand it. I have a very difficult time operating with this and getting my head wrapped around it. But if you see what the globalists are doing and their goal, that's why I've said so many times we have to be so strong and so careful with this younger generation. And I'm a parent now, about to have a second one. I'm so concerned about it, and I'm so strict about it, because they're going to be exposed to stuff that we never even thought about in the next 10, 15, 20 years. You already see what they're doing to the 5-year-olds now and what they're doing in the high schools now and telling these girls and guys, oh, well, girls' locker room now, we have a guy that's basically, he's a girl now, and he's going to have to shower in your locker room and you're going to have to deal with it. This is out of control and insanity, and this has never been okay in any society as far as this with the younger generation. If older adults are consenting and they want to engage in this type of just idiotic behavior, that's what they can do. They're adults, and quite frankly, as America, if you want to do it, you can do it. But indoctrinating our children now at 5 years of age, it really, really bothers me that they're doing this. So I just wanted to address that and kind of let everybody know what's going on now in the public school system. And so, yes, guys, if you need anything, you always know, healthmasters.com. What we're here to do is help you guys out. Dad will be on the Hagman Show tonight. He's got a lot of good stuff. I've seen some of the articles he's been working on all day. It's going to be a pretty aggressive show. And, of course, we have the product of the week on sale, which I talked about before. It's 10% off on the Ultimate Essentials. I went into detail on it yesterday on what this product does. Very, very popular product. Very, 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 I mean, it's pretty much an all-around great product for a base, because so many people call us up and ask us, well, I just want to order one product to start off with. I don't know what to get. This is pretty much what I, you know, what do I need? Ultimate Essentials is a good one. It's on sale now, so you definitely want to check that out. I know Dad will have a couple products he'll probably refer back to on the Hagman Show tonight. And, of course, we have the kits that we always talk about. And we do this because people always ask us, do you have coupon codes? Do you have this? Do you have that? Guys, we can't run coupon codes 24/7. We can't physically do it from a margin standpoint. We already operate on a very low margin with the quality of raws that we produce. So we put things on sale like the product of the week. We put kits together like the Alpha Male Stack or the Hagman Blood Sugar Protocol or the Immune Kit. Stuff that's very, very well needed, is very popular, and we get great feedback from customers. This stuff is on sale almost 24/7. We do that to help everybody out. So we don't always have coupon codes running 24/7. Also, too, on Facebook, you know, Dad and I see a lot of this stuff all the time. We get a lot of emails, and he didn't address this. We get a lot of emails of people asking health questions. It's really preferred if you guys hit us up on the website at healthmasters.com. But if you do email us on Facebook, we still do respond to some of the emails on there. But if we respond to you guys with a supplement answer and we don't give you the answer that you want, please don't write us back some incredibly aggressive nonsense about you guys are mad that we're not giving you more information. Pick up the phone and call us if you need to talk to us. I give our phone number out every single day on the show. If you need us, call us. But if you have some significant health problem, you're on multiple medications, and you're on the care of a doctor on a regular basis, we're very limited on what we can tell you liability-wise, and we're going to recommend to you a basic supplement stack that'll probably help you out, and in most cases, do a lot, and you need to discuss with your doctor coming off medications. But we're not going to go into detail, especially on Facebook, as much as it's monitored, about what you can do and what you can take and how you can come off medications. You got to discuss that with your doctor. And again, if you want more in-depth detail, please call us 1-800-726-1834. We appreciate the phone calls. We appreciate your time, and we appreciate the support. If you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe night. I hope you enjoy the Hagman broadcast. Have a blessed weekend, and we'll talk to you again Monday as always.